The scripture for today comes from Psalm 25, and I'll read the first 10 verses. In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful toward those who keep the demands of his covenant. May God bless this reading. I invite Danilo. Let's pray. Lord, we come unto you and we invite your presence here. And as we listen to your word, help us that we can tune out all the noise, calm our hearts, and we can focus and listen to your voice, Lord. We thank you for the meal, for the preparation, and all the time spent. Bless him. And as he speaks, Lord, we ask your guidance and your leading. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'll wait till you get the PowerPoint up. So we started Lent with Ash Wednesday this past Wednesday. Those of you who are with us, it was a good time. I found it meaningful again to have our bread service. You can go to the next slide. Yeah, I found it meaningful to have our bread service and to gather. It was different for me since I was the one putting on the ashes. It felt different leading. Remembering that each of us are starting at different places in our journey to the cross as we shared together in Ash Wednesday. The words that Pastor Ruse used were, "What bread do you need for the journey?" Some of us come with pain and loss, some with unexpected joy in the wilderness, and others with a renewed commitment to follow Jesus. Our theme for Lent this year, as Naveen said, and as you can see on the overhead, is "I want to know you more." It's both a statement of confession and commitment. We confess that we don't always love God the way we should, or our desire to have a relationship with Jesus, the God of the universe, has grown weak. And we commit ourselves to seeking God out and growing our relationship with Jesus. For we know that God is a mystery, that he cannot be fully understood or contained. There is always something more to learn about the eternal God, which the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us. And it feels appropriate for this to be our theme, as it fits well with our time of discernment as a church. As we, if you remember last week, we gathered around tables down in the fellowship hall and began talking about how are we going to move forward together as a church, as we think about our budget and opening our minds and our hearts to where God might be leading us. We are seeking to know God more and to listen for the Spirit's voice as we dream together with God about our future. During this season of Lent, Jesus may be calling us into the wilderness, into a deeper relationship with Him. I like this image of Lent as a journey with Jesus, because we are going from the wilderness, His 40 days in the wilderness, to Jerusalem and eventually to the cross. We are pilgrims, walking with Jesus on the road to the cross. For anyone who has done backpacking or camping for the first time, you almost always overpack, right? Taking much more than you need. Back in 2008, I took a four-day backpacking trip on the Camino de Santiago in Spain. We hiked from Santiago de Compostela, which you can kind of see there, to Finisterre, which was a long time ago, they considered kind of the ends of the earth, because that was all they knew. Because if you keep going, like if you see the ocean, like that was the Atlantic, and they're like, we have no idea what's past there. And the little symbol in the middle is just like the trail, kind of the trail marker to which you know which way to go. So we hiked from Santiago de Compostela, which is a beautiful cathedral church, to Finisterre, and there's a difference of 89 kilometers, or about 55 miles. It was my first backpacking trip, and I was severely underprepared. I didn't have the right hiking shoes. I just took some running shoes. I didn't pack the right clothes. Some of it was just too heavy. I could have packed something lighter. My backpack was too heavy. It was filled. I don't know how many pounds it weighed, but it just... I got blisters by the second day. It was just rough. It was a hard time. In the evening, we would stay at hostels with other pilgrims walking the trail. Some were coming from France, Germany, Portugal, and we even met some people from Australia. Oftentimes, we'd see clothes and mats and other heavy things from people's backpacks just left in the morning when people would wake up for the rest of their journey. The wilderness can be a reality check on what is the most important. In Jesus' 40 days in the wilderness, He focused on His relationship with Abba Father. Lent is a time that we are invited into this wilderness, into a journey. As Pastor Rose said during children's time, we slow down, we examine our lives, what needs to be removed, what is hindering us from coming to the cross. We need to think about what is most important to us. How are we following Jesus? In what ways is Jesus calling us into a deeper relationship with Him? My prayer is that as we journey through Lent this year, our cry will be, Jesus, I want to know You more. The Psalms are collections of prayers between the people of Israel and God. There are different kinds of Psalms since there are multiple feelings that we have and that we experience in our relationship with God. Sometimes we have prayers of praise, just glorifying God for who He is or for what He has done. Sometimes we come in our relationship seeking comfort, asking for righteousness and for justice. Or we simply need to lament and cry out to God with our pain and our suffering. I was surprised to learn that Psalm 25 is actually a psalm of lament. But it does not follow the typical pattern of a lament. As you can read through it, and as you heard Naveen read it, it's a cry for protection from our enemies, and ultimately that a hope that God will deliver us. As I was studying Psalm 25 this week, I focused on ways this psalm reveals our relationship with our Creator and our Savior. Three principles that I pulled from this song were love, trust and hope, and guidance and teaching. The foundation is love. That's the beginning. It amazes me that the God of creation who formed us from dust, if you remember the language of Ash Wednesday, wants to have a relationship with us. God created us in love, but we were sinful and disobeyed. Yet despite our sinfulness, Christ still loved us and died for us. Romans 5:8 says, "Yet while we were enemies, Christ died for us, for sinners." We were once enemies of God, but through His love, we were redeemed. Our desire to have a relationship with Jesus and follow His ways must start with the fact that we are love, that God has loved us first. That's what 1 John 4:9 says. We love Him because He loved us first. And that's what I have there up in the overhead. We love because He first loved us. Because God loves us and created us, we are invited to obey and to love Him. If we don't know this love or know God, why would we want to obey Him? Why would we want to follow in His ways? The ways of living in Scripture seem like foolishness and feel restrictive when we don't have a relationship with God, our Creator. People see religion as just some kind of rules because they don't know the God who has spoken them. They don't have that relationship. So the foundation is love. We first need to know and love God. After we know God's love as our foundation, we begin to trust. That love and faithfulness we experience allows us to trust in God. The psalmist says, "My hope is in You all day long." David can have this hope because he knows God's love, His faithfulness, and His power. Time and time again in the life of David, he was rescued or delivered by God. Whether it was rescue from his enemies, whether it was deliverance or forgiveness of his sins, this allowed David to be confident in his relationship with God. In verse 3, it says, "No one who hopes in You will ever be put to shame." That's a pretty bold statement. No one who hopes in You will ever be put to shame. But there's a reason to say it. Because there is no one like our God. No one more loving, no one more just or holy or wise. In our relationship with the Eternal One, we have likely experienced this faithfulness and love that leads us to have confidence in our Savior and who He is and what He can do for us. We know God to be strong enough to save us and the world. We don't put our hope and our trust in any other person, any other country, any other government, because all of those things will leave us in shame and disappointment. It is only in God that we have our hope. We learned to say like David and the psalmist, "My hope is in You and only You all day long." Finally, if we know God's love, if we are learning to trust in Him, then we must walk in the ways of the Lord. From Scripture, we learn how to love God and love our neighbor, but specifically here in this psalm, David talks about the ways, learning the paths of deliverance and salvation. As verse 5 says, "Guide me in Your truth and teach me, for You are God, my Savior." Other translations might say, "God of my deliverance." What the psalmist is trying to teach us in this verse is that we look to God for our salvation. It is in the way of Jesus we find our salvation, for the ways of Jesus bring life and liberation. Jesus says in John 10:10, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." The Ten Commandments and all the ways of Jesus, or the ways of living that Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount, are meant to bring life and salvation. They are meant as how to worship and love God with all our being, and also how to love each other and be in community. They teach us how to be in right relationship with God, with each other, and creation. When we are going down the wrong path, God's word is a lamp to our feet, and He leads us along paths of righteousness. Oh, actually, you can go back to the last slide. So what does this relationship with the Eternal One and loving God look like? Here are three ways that I see this living out in our community. First, I think about love. I think about the many stories and journeys that each of us are on. About seeking God first. About having that desire to follow Jesus. A while back, Pastor Rose had a baptism class with Sean, Abby, and Ronick, and another Cora, I think. Our youth are saying, I want to know Jesus. What is this baptism about? What does following Jesus mean? We've also talked about Sam, who's been here. She's also interested in baptism. Maybe some of the other youth or some of the other adults are interested in baptism. It's a desire to say, Jesus, I want to know you more. I want to know what it means to follow you in every part of my life. And I think about trust and hope. Trust and hope leads me to think about how Whitehall has been in the past. Our story with our finances and our budget. Always trusting that God will somehow provide. That's been the story time and time again. We don't know how the future will look. We don't know what holds, but somehow God is going to provide. Rose and I were talking, and as she was talking, something that she said stood out to me. She commented, why are we in this same place that we were a couple years ago? Could this be a time that we need to trust in God a new way? That felt important to me to think about. Are we in the same situation again? Not because we are not generous and loving and able to provide. But is God saying, yes, what you're doing is good, but I'm calling you to something else? Could this be a time that we need to trust in God in a new way? God may be inviting us to a space and time, but we have been afraid to walk into it. We have been faithful in the past, and God has been faithful to us. What does that mean for our future? We know that God has been able to provide for us. Are we willing to trust God more? Are we willing to have that faith that He has been faithful to us? To walk into this new adventure? I don't know what that looks like. I don't think the rest of us feel like we know what that looks like. But as leaders, you know, I don't have all the answers. Rose doesn't have all the answers, which is why we as a leadership saying we need community to think together. Each of us needs to be listening to God's Spirit. What is he trying to say to us that we need to be listening and open to? What did we miss the first time that we need to hear from God now? And as I think about guidance and teaching, someone from Ripple comes to my mind. A couple weeks ago, I led a body prayer, helping us to pray and think about how our bodies interact in the world, how we care for our bodies, and how we can use our bodies for God's kingdom. And in her story, she, a few weeks ago, she had to lose part of her foot. She lost a toe from diabetes, and the doctors, there was some infection in her leg, and she was worried she might have to lose her whole foot. But thankfully, she didn't. And when we were doing this body prayer, we prayed for our feet, and she just burst out with thankfulness and joy that God was able to provide, the doctors, and they didn't, nothing was worse, and she was just thankful. Feelings of God's love and care and abundance for her. And it wanted her to be more faithful and follow more closely with Jesus. But that night, she told me and confessed, like, she went home and there was problems with her landlord. Her landlord, you know, was just hounding her, you know, I need the rent money. And she was frustrated and upset and said, you know what, I'm just going to go out to the streets. I'm going to sell my body and make some money. And I'll just, you know, so this will be done with it. So she said she was out from 11:30 at night to 5:30 a.m. And while other women were being picked up, she was not, no guy was stopping to pick her up. And it was at 5:30 she said, God must be telling me something. I thanked God, you know, just earlier this day. I'm making poor choices right now. And God is saying, hey, I don't want you to do this. This is not what is for you. I will provide another solution. She realized she needed to trust him more. And God was able to deliver her from doing something that she would regret. He illuminated a path for her forward. It just felt like a powerful testimony of when we are willing to follow Jesus, he prevents us from doing things that would harm ourselves and provide a way forward. He provided a path of deliverance for her. So, at what point in the journey do you find yourself? Do you need to return to the center? Do you need to return to the foundations and remember that God loves you deeply? Are you working at trust in your relationship with Jesus right now? Or perhaps you're learning what it means to walk in the ways of the Lord. Wherever you find yourself, make the commitment this time during Lent to know Jesus more. I think we did a series a while back, maybe it was during Advent, seeking the heart of God. And we said, sometimes it's just even hard to want to have that desire to follow Jesus. So maybe your prayer or your time during this Lent is saying, Jesus, just give me the desire to want you to know you more. We want to know God's deep love for you. To learn to trust God and to walk in the path of salvation. I want to leave you with a couple challenges or options for ways to grow in your relationship with Jesus this Lent. You can go to the next one. If you like Whitehall on Facebook, Pastor Rose posted this, I guess it was on Wednesday or last Wednesday or something. So if you can't read the fonts a little, it's a little light and small. 40 different ways to things to give up to during Lent. Fear of failure, of your comfort zone, comparison, blame, guilt, the spirit of poverty, complaint, busyness, loneliness, disunity, envy, sorrow, bitterness. Try giving those things up during this time of Lent and see how God works in your life. The one thing that I've appreciated, we do talk a lot about giving things up for Lent. But I think when I came to Whitehall, it was the first time that I heard about people adding spiritual practices during the time of Lent is also important. Sometimes we need to remove those things that allow us to come to the cross of Jesus and to know him better. Other times we need to add things, healthy spiritual practices that will also deepen our relationship. Another option might be reading through the Psalms. On Sundays, we're going to be teaching through the Psalms during Lent. But maybe, what are there, 150? How many? 150 Psalms. Maybe during this time of Lent, you're saying, I'm going to read two or three Psalms every day. And soak that scripture in. Soak that scripture in and dwell in the Word. My own commitment, something that I made, I want to be fasting twice a week as I think about our time of discernment and listening for the Spirit. So I'm fasting and I'm focusing on opening my mind and my heart, saying, Jesus, where is your Spirit calling me? Do I have the courage to act and follow? If you have your bulletin, you would have seen the white half sheet. This is another way you can engage a relationship with Jesus, but also think about the body of Christ. Think about how Jesus is calling Whitehall, us as a body, to be together. Over these next few weeks, we want to have times where we gather in the evening to pray and discern where is God calling us to be to listen. Maybe we'll talk about this in the announcements or during our reflection time too. But there's a couple options to think about discernment. Maybe it's committing to one of our evening gatherings. You can see the dates there. Maybe it's committing to fasting and praying. Maybe during this time, during Lent, you're going to say, I want to pray regularly every day. Example, 10 minutes at 10 o'clock every day. I just want to stop and pray for 10 minutes to deepen my relationship with Jesus, but also then to think about Whitehall. Or maybe you want to be meeting with your prayer partner. Make a commitment. Make a decision this time during Lent with our theme, I want to know you more. How do you want to know Jesus, your Savior, more? How do you want to grow in your relationship? As we start our journey together to the cross, let us remember the one who goes before us. May we learn to put Jesus first in our lives, to walk in his ways, and delight in God's word. Amen.